6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Guys, welcome to Full Blast Podcast. I'm Jeff Fader, and before we get into it, let's take care of a little business. First things first, I want to thank my friends at Broadbeck Ironworks, makers of the 2x72 grinder. This is an awesome grinder made for knife makers, for metal workers, for sculptors. If you're removing material, this is the knife machine for you, or metal machine for you, or wood machine for you. You're removing material, this is for you. Go to broadbeckironworks.com, put in the promo code KNIFETALK10 for 10% off. And interestingly enough, I'm going to be bringing back Broadbeck, because Broadbeck Ironworks did something really, really cool in my book that's going to relate to this podcast, if I can remember. I should be able to remember, but I'm saluting high regards to Broadbeck Ironworks. We're going to talk about Broadbeck a little bit later. Next are my friends at Even Heat, manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com. Solid state drive, tap control. If you're trying to get it hard, got to use an Even Heat. You know what I'm saying? So go to evenheat-kiln.com and check it out. This is the one for you. That's all I use for all my complex steels, for any steel, any type of hardening. If you're a glass blower, this is for you. Ceramics people, talking to you. Knife people, tool people, talking to you. Stop playing, get an Even Heat, because otherwise, you're playing. That's it. Even Heat or you're playing. Next are my friends at Maritime Knife Supply for all your knife making needs. Belts, bracers, steels, kilns, forges, press, heat treating ovens, all that stuff. They're in Canada, and they ship with ease, United States. And I'm with them 100%. So, and P.S., if you are going to participate in the Knife Talk build along with Damasteel, all the steel comes from Maritime Knife Supply. So if you want to get specifically involved with that, definitely go to maritimeknifesupply.com and check it out. I am a huge fan of what Lawrence is doing, especially he does a ton with different schools, New England School of Metalwork, and upcoming, the Center for Metal Arts, and I'm really excited about that. He's very invested in this community. He gives back all the time, and it just doesn't get much better than Lawrence Lake at Maritime Knife Supply. So go support them. I highly suggest it. And if you're in Canada and you're looking for something that he should have, let him know. He's a facilitator. He'll get you squared away. Next are my friends at Trojan Horse Forge, makers of the Stabroom knife finishing vise. Their vices are built in the heart of Texas, and they're designed to take your handle finishing to a whole new level. Not to mention, they teach classes. Not to mention, they also sell knives. Not to mention all this stuff. Go to TrojanHorseForge.com, and when you get one of them knife finishing vices, you get 10% off with a Full Blast 10. I'm a huge fan of those guys. I appreciate them. I appreciate these small American businesses trying to make it happen, and I am 100% behind them. Speaking of other small American businesses trying to make them happen, Baker Forge is bakerforge.com, Baker Forge and Tool on Instagram. If you want to get involved with any type of exotic steels, copper, my bronze, my sand, my mosaic, Damascus, all that stuff, go to bakerforge.com and put in the promo code FULLBLAST, and I'll give you 10% off. And you know what I'm saying? But they got some new stuff, not to mention the fact that all the steel is very easy to work with, not to mention it's they hold your hand for cutting it, heat treating it, all that stuff, finishing it. They have these etchants that I've talked about. You know I've talked about them. And the name is Gator Piss. The original Gator Piss is unbelievable. It's amazing for any type of etching using Damascus or Copper Mask, all that stuff. But they got two other new concoctions, two new ingredients to add to the Gator Piss family. There's Gator Piss Heavy, which is a unique variation on the original blend, but it's stronger and it has more powerful etches. It's great for the blackout etches on Damascus and even on Monosteel. And then if you are involved with any type of stainless Damascuses, stainless Damasci, I'm going to think we're going to call it stainless Damasci. You're going to, because Damascuses sounds weird. And Damasci. If you're working with them, stainless Damasci, you gotta stop playing. It's enough. You gotta use their Gator Piss Max, which is an etchant for all stainless steel Damasci, and designed for a high contrast and depth etch in one go. No need to use the muriatics out the door when you're using the Gator Piss Max. So if you're involved with stainless etching, get yourself some of that Gator Piss Max and see what the fuss is about. And you gotta go to, and you know what, they had a very special pre-order. But they got so slammed that they had to shut it off. So, I mean, this stuff is in great demand. Regular Gator Piss, unbelievable. They sent me some of the Gator Piss Heavy and the Gator Piss Max. I haven't got a chance to use it, but it is pretty sick. So definitely go to bakerforge.com to get involved with that. And then you can also get some of that regular Gator Piss, at least, at my friends at Texas Ferry Supply. Texas Ferry Supply, I just got an order of Rhino Wet over Texas Ferry Supply, and I used the promo code KNIFETALK10 and I got 10% off everything. They're great, great guys in Texas, and well, Texas Ferry Supply. They got the knife making stuff, they have the farrier stuff, the blacksmithing stuff. It's awesome. And I'm with them 100%. So go to TexasFerrySupply.com, put in the promo code KNIFETALK10 for 10% off everything. And all the codes and all the links and everything you need are wherever you're listening to this. So don't worry about sending me a message saying, what was that again? It's all in the show notes. Next are my friends at Total Boats. TotalBoats.com/FullBlast is the link to get me some street cred and you some savings. For adhesive, paints, primers, polishing compounds, I use their two-part epoxy specifically. I use their CA glue. I also use their UV cure resin. And I like the two-part epoxy a lot for handle scales. And one of the reasons why is because they have the specially formulated dyes to make sure that your epoxy is going to keep being epoxy. And it's not going to be all gummy and weird because you added something different. Stuff is easy to work with. It's great. And I like it very much. And I would highly suggest you use that. Hyperlink totalboat.com/fullblast and get yourself some of that. Next are my friends at GL Hansen and Sons is g.l._Hansen and Sons on Instagram. gcarta.bigcartel.com is where you can see the G-Carta, which is unique composite of natural fibers and fabrics mixed with epoxy and pressure under heat. Bofa, Ripple Cut, Tuxini, Mahi Mahi, Radio Worm G-Carta, Pheasant, Colorama, Hoopla, Electric Fuzz, that's the stuff I named. That stuff is awesome. I love it. And I actually just got, Greg sent me some, and I used it. It's like a tiger stripe. It's like one of his one-off weirdos. And I'm putting it on an offset serrated, and I think it's really slick. So go to gcarta.bigcartel.com and see what the fuss is about. If you're going to put some razzle-dazzle in your handle material, stuff's awesome. You can get that Mexican blanket. That's what a lot of guys use. You can use the Hoopla. That's what I love. That's what all my customers ask for. And that's the thing. All the customers are starting to ask for it by name. So definitely check it out. I want to thank my buddies over at Tormek, celebrating 50 years of being in business with the Black's TA sharpening system. This stuff is it's a water-cooled sharpening system that's amazing. I'm a huge fan of it. I've talked enough. I've talked about it until the cows come home. I'm a Tormek man. If you're doing your chisels, you're doing your axes, they have special jigs for sharpening axes. I mean, you can't get much better than that. You don't have to use the jigs either. You can just, like me, you can just you know, you can just you can just use it without the jigs. You can jigless sharpening, all with you. So go to Tormek.com to see what's going on there, or you can go to Tormek_sharpening on Instagram, and you can see it all. Many thanks to my buddy Carl. Carl was on a couple weeks ago from Tormek. He's my buddy. And the Tormek show will be a booth at the Blade show, and Tormek's going to be there. So definitely go visit them and say hello. And I'm a huge fan of Tormek. I use it. All my knives are sharpened. Tormek made me a better knife maker. And that's the Tormek way. That's the Tormek way. That's how they say it, some of these guys. And peace and love. Next, my friends at Nordic Edge. It's Nordic_edge on Instagram. If you're in Australia, this is the place for you. It's all about the joy of making something with your hands. And they sell supplies, and they also teach classes. So if you want to get involved with blacksmithing classes, knife making, spoon carving, you're in Australia, spend a day with them. Over at nordicedge.com.au, and definitely get them file guides. If you're one of them Australian knife makers, you got to stop playing and get them screw-on carbide file guides. These things are the best. So go to nordicedge.com.au because they have the guidance to help you accelerate your creativity and the tools, products, and supplies to manifest your ideas. nordicedge.com.au. I love those guys. I love all these guys. They're awesome. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank my friends at Phoenix Abrasives. That's phoenixabrasives.com for all your superior abrasive products for every application, knife making, metal fabrication, glass fabrication, floor sanding, all that stuff, belts, grinding disc, all that flap disc, anything you need. And when you get your shopping cart filled, go to checkout and put in the promo code FB10 and you're going to get 10% off everything. So I'm a huge fan of the guys over at Phoenix Abrasives. They have been really supportive of me, and they're supportive of you because they're going to get you squared away. You know what I'm saying? And I want to talk about Broadbeck a little bit later, but before we get to it, let's just start in, you know. So this week was going to be with Salem Straub. Salem had to, you know what, I sent a message to Salem, and I said, hey, you ready? I can't wait to talk to you on Monday. He's like, oh, we're forging some Damascus. Is it possible I could do it next week? So I'm like, of course, Salem. And what am I going to say? No. I mean, you're my guy. Salem's my guy. He's got things to say. And it also gave me a lot of opportunities to kind of talk about something that I've been wanting to talk to. But at the same time, when I have a guest on, I can't just go as crazy as I want to go. And that comes from something that happened recently. If I'm being honest right now, I'm feeling every inch of being 51 years old. I feel old, and some of it's good and some of it's not so good. The not so good stuff is I'm still training for the New York City Marathon, and my running is going great. I'm feeling consistent. I'm doing 3 days of running. On the weekends, I go a little bit farther, and then 3 days I'm doing Peloton, which is the guided bike stationary bike, and it's been great because it's like I get to work different muscles, and I'm feeling good, and I'm trying to rest, and I get one day off, and I'm trying to do a lot of walking, and I'm trying to get into more stretching. But God damn it, I feel fucking old. I wake up and my shit hurts. I heard my wife was just like, what is that noise? It was my ankle clicking while I was going down the stairs. I got like, you know, I'm like a old man shit. And I wake up and I groan and I'm just like kind of slightly miserable all the time. And I'm just tuning it up. I'm counting it up to being older. And, you know, I know I'm not that old. I'm 51's not the end of the world. And I'm actually appreciating some of that parts of, you know, growing old. And P.S., I wouldn't trade to be younger for anything right now, because the experiences that I've made has kind of got me to the point where I am right now. And if it wasn't for all these experiences of my youth, I wouldn't be able to formulate the decisions that I'm doing now. But one of the things I appreciate, it's a funny reason to appreciate being old, but I for sure cannot, I'm having a harder and harder time relating to younger people. But it's in this way of like, I'm not shrugging my shoulders and saying, what's up with younger people? I'm not doing that. It's almost just like, it's closer to, and don't take this the wrong way. I'm going to just, I'm by myself, so there's nobody here to be upset except for you, the listener. Don't be upset when I say this. But part of it is, I'm not relating to people, and part of me is just like, fuck them too. I don't even care. I'm like, what is wrong? What's with these people? I don't get it. I don't get a lot of things, and I'm not apologizing for it. I've apologized enough. I'm going to apologize. Or listen, let's just get this out of the way. I'm going to apologize now for things that I'm going to say in the future of this episode. But that's it. I'm right here. I'm so, so sorry if I've offended you. And I want this to be an IOU for the future of the rest of you listening to this episode. I'm sorry. And then from now on here, I'll say it one more time, but from now on, because I've said this, and this isn't a give and take listening experience, you are obligated to accept my apology right now. So I, Jeff Vader, holding up my hand, do solemnly swear, I apologize for offending you in the future of this episode. And in doing so, you've accepted my apology, and now we can go on. Okay? So I'm sorry. On this podcast and on A Knife Talk especially, we've been talking a lot about AI. And A Knife Talk, which is an awesome podcast. If you're not listening to Knife Talk, I mean, I don't know what the hell. And you don't even have to be a knife maker. It's three guys. It's me, Mareko Momasi, one of the best knife makers on the planet, period. Don't even, you know, give me a problem about that. I mean, I don't think most people would. And Craig Lockwood, who's an incredible knife maker, incredible musician, great friend, amazing voice, just a terrific. And then me. So I'm like the horse shit. I'm the fucking, I'm the heel, which is fine. I'm radio. I appreciate radio, and I understand that I want something to sound good, and it all works. The three of us work together. We normally talk about knife making stuff, but sometimes I try to bring it to more of a broader subject than plunge lines and scratch patterns and Damascus and all this stuff. So I recently have been kind of talking about AI art I probably should kind of modify it. I've been talking about the fact that with social media, people are able to use AI like ChatGPT to create these filters on images, or you can use ChatGPT to write a song, or you can use ChatGPT to write a writing, or, you know, like a whatever. And I've gotten to the point, as you know, 30 plus years of making art and sculpture and studying art and stuff like that, is I find it to be offensive. I find it to be offensive to the creative process. So we talk about it on Knife Talk because, you know, I went to school and I was a studio art major, and I lived as an artist, and I worked for artists, and I've studied with artists. My sisters are artists. My sister's a curator of an amazing gallerist and curator. My dad was a painter. My other sister. So I lived and breathed going to art galleries and talking about art and kind of understanding and trying, not understanding, but kind of like, you know, listening and just trying to get it, right? So when on Knife Talk, we talk about it, when I start to explain the fact that it offends me, because what it does is what ChatGPT will do, it'll kind of cull the information. You know, you ask it to do something, it'll cull on the internet different opportunities or different styles and stuff like that, and it'll cull and harvest all these styles, and then it'll make it what you're asking for. And then what happens is you could say something like, if you want to write a song, I want it to sound like Green Day, it'll make a song, it'll sound like Green Day. Well, that's what these AI programs, or you say, you take this picture that I'm uploading, and I want it to look like, I want it to look like The Simpsons, or I want it to look like, you know, an existing artist's work. I want it to look like, I want this picture to look like it was painted by, let's say someone everybody knows, Keith Haring. Maybe people don't know what Keith Haring is. I want it to look like a Picasso painting. So the problem is like, for me, when I hear these things, I'm saying, oh man, they are taking the intellectual properties of people, and then they're just kind of like compacting it, and then, you know, taking it and diluting the original information, and they're just like slowly stealing people's creativity. My opinion about what art is has changed over time. And And I've become far more back to being an old guy. I've been far more closer to like my father in terms of unreasonable. I'm relatively unreasonable about a lot of things. The interesting thing is Mareko and Craig have different opinions. And we had one episode where we just, not that we weren't getting along, we were having a really great heated discussion. And I know that I got crazy because I was a little bit unreasonable because I felt as though, well, you know, I'm the only one who wanted, you know, they were talking about art and they were talking about the, you know, and I was like, you know, planting my flag on being some art expert, which is really, you know, dumb. I mean, I have an opinion of what art is to me, which is different than what art is to other people. And I just have to understand that and explain. I have to be able to just be a little bit more, I have to listen more, really. So then I went crazy. I saw red in my eyes and I went crazy. And I was just like, you don't understand. They're stealing our stuff and you don't understand. And Mareko was having a hard time. And the great part was Mareko was asking me questions to elaborate. And you should go back. It was a couple episodes ago of Knife Talk. It was really good, really good. But I definitely got crazy to the point where the next episode, I apologized to the guys. And I apologized because I said I was unreasonable. Well, I ended up getting a message from an art friend of mine who said, I don't know what the fuck you were apologizing for. You weren't even close to being unreasonable. And this person, who's a dear friend, a smart guy, a really good guy, was just like telling me how insidious all these filters are, because they're slowly, slowly making people, you know, comfortable with the idea of theft. I mean, that's what it is. It's theft. If you're saying, make me look like this, the Japanese, Mizuzaki, what was it? Studio Ghibli, something like that. So Studio Ghibli was, made movies. You put your pictures in and said, made me look like the Studio Ghibli stuff. And people there's a lot of people who identified as artists who didn't understand that this was just theft from, you know, information. All right. So we're not getting into that. So we went over it, but we went over it on the podcast, and it was pretty crazy. And I really did my best in the second time to kind of just like listen and not be so arrogant. I said I already apologized, so I'm not apologizing anymore. The interesting thing was what the listeners kind of like brought up. And the reason why I wanted to do this now is because I figured I could just kind of elaborate in regards to some of the things that they were saying, because on Knife Talk, sometimes it don't work, you know, all the way. A lot of people were saying that AI is a tool. A lot of people couldn't understand why I was making the point that these AI programs are going to take away people's jobs. My friend was telling me that what's going to happen is commercial artists, people who do graphic design, you know, designing labels, designing all this stuff, who you'd normally used to go to do it, they're going to be, their livelihood's going to be taken away because you use ChatGPT and say, you know, make me a logo or something like that, and then they do it. Now back this. So I want to give a big shout out to Broadbeck Ironworks, my man Ben Seacrest, who listens to Knife Talk religiously. I got a message from he works for Broadbeck, and Ryan Broadbeck, who is I've had him on a couple years ago. He's just an awesome guy. He sends me messages. Big Reds fan, big Cincinnati Reds fan, and Cincinnati Reds put a whooping on somebody a while ago. I mean, I think a 25 to something. They put a whooping on him. So let's hear it for the Reds. So he sends me a message and he goes, hey, you know, business is on the slower side and we're going to make some t-shirts for Blade Show. And I was going to design a label for a t-shirt and I was wondering if you'd be interested. And I'm like, I would love it. And he says, Ben was listening to the podcast. He heard what you said about AI art and we just thought maybe you'd like to do one. And I said, I appreciate the fact that you would go to an artist or someone who identifies as an artist, let me design something. And I said, I am not charging you. You guys have been unbelievable to me. I want to make I want to design a couple t-shirts for you. And at some point, if you go to Broadbeck Ironworks, keep your eye out on Broadbeck Ironworks. There'll be a couple t-shirts that I designed. I don't know when they're going to come out or if it's just for Blade Show, but keep your eye on them. But the fact is it was like what I was getting to on Knife Talk was it isn't like everybody's got to stop. You know, there needs to be some sort of like prohibition on AI. You got to educate people to understand the value of the human, you know, spirit in regards to creativity, executing creativity, and also having a relationship with another person. You know, it's like honoring the fact that this person may have spent time in school and this is their you know, opportunity to make a living, and you have this ability to be, you know, create like a ecosystem of commerce. And it was just like, I was so pumped. And I was so tired too. When I got the message from Ryan, I was just like, oh God, I got to design it. Hillary's like, what are you up to? I was like, oh, I got to design a t-shirt. But I was just like, so happy that they went down this road that you can't just be like, blow them off. You throw yourself around saying, don't use AI art, and somebody gives you the opportunity to design something, you don't just blow them off. So I knocked out a couple drawings and some watercolors, and I told them, anything you want to do, you want to manipulate it, however you want to do it, I'm appreciative of the fact that you would even think to do this. And it's great. So I appreciate Broadbeck for doing that. It's very thoughtful. And that was the point that I was trying to make on Knife Talk, was we need to kind of let people know that they're, you know, we can create relationships by just, and not, you know, just using these AI filters. So it was interesting because people were saying it was a tool, and it got me to think about a few things. One of them was like, you know, the hilarious part about, you know, I'm just going to assume that they're not, I know that Joyce Cuddy might be listening, and there's a few other women who are listening to this, but there's a lot of, in the maker community, let's just say in the maker community, there's enough of this kind of masculine thought that, you know, I'm also falling to this, like, if I get a tool or something like that, I rarely kind of dive into the instructions. I'm just like, sorry, I'm pressing buttons. As soon as it's off the pallet, as soon as it's out of the box, as soon as it's plugged in, I'm pressing buttons, you know. And I think that there's funny parts to it, and there's also dumb parts to it, especially when you're dealing with a business or a hobby where you're using industrial equipment as a recreational hobby or a business for that matter. You know, when we refer to things as tools, we also never talk about the idea of like the relationship between education of these tools or techniques and the tool itself. We just automatically just are arrogant enough to just say, all right, just a tool, even though you don't know totally how to use it. That's why there's all these presses. People are buying presses and people are buying power hammers, and they don't have the experience to use them. You can't go buy yourself a power hammer and then all of a sudden it comes with like a loose leaf paper on how to forge. It's not like A, B, C, and D. There is a degree of technique and learning involved. There's schooling involved. There's being comfortable with it. It's not just about safety. It's about technique and using things. And otherwise, people are just going to be making, I mean, no offense, but all of a sudden it's just like you're buying a $15,000 ashtray maker. You push it down once and then you got an ashtray. There's opportunities for learning with all these tools. And I feel as though that we're now at this weird position where we're kind of, we're avoiding the idea of education and the qualifying, you know, how education qualifies you to do and use certain things. This was something that happened on Knife Talk when we were talking about what art is and, you know, why am I defending art? And I couldn't understand why Mareko and Craig couldn't understand why I was offended. And I said, well, I came to the conclusion. I said, well, you know, my years of being in art school and doing art critiques and talking about art and listening about art and going to art history classes, I feel as though that experience and education informed me to have a different understanding of how these things are not good. And it went into the whole idea of Mareko ended up saying something along the lines of I can't be an artist because I didn't go to school. And that was something that a few people picked up on. And what they picked up on was the idea that I was inferring that artists are only artists if they have some sort of education. And I said, no, that's not really what I mean, but I'm saying that my outrage has been informed of the years of, you know, studying and learning about art and listening to artists and talking about my own art and kind of figuring out ways in which to. Next thing you know, in the DMs of Knife Talk and, Mareko might have called me a gatekeeper at one point. I think he was fooling around. And then I got called a gatekeeper a few times. And I find it to be hilarious. I find the whole concept of a gatekeeper to be hilarious. And that's probably one of the things about not relating to younger people that I have a real hard time with, this whole concept. There are these words that people are coming up with, and it's just almost like it's like some sort of verbal jujitsu on words that you're using. Like somebody says that you're not qualified to do something, then you can get this label of being a gatekeeper. Now, I'm not saying that in regards to art. What I was saying was my experience as an art student and living with artists and going to gallery shows and talking about art with my sisters and my dad and going to art school for 4 years, well, regular school, but I was an art major, and living as an artist. And that experience, those informed me on my decisions and my opinions on, you know, why I really don't like AI art at all. I don't like it at all. Like I don't fuck with those little filters that turn you into a Barbie doll. I don't fuck with those filters that make you look like a superhero. I don't fuck with those filters at all. I feel like it's stealing information from other artists, and I'm against it, because the problem is it's like it's very insidious. I think I said that before. It's like a Trojan horse for problems to come. So this whole gatekeeper thing is hilarious, because it's just like, nowadays furthering your education is so like, you know, college isn't for everybody. I understand, but I do believe that education is, there's a lot of people who, especially in the maker community, who talk about the fact that education wasn't for me. I didn't like it. I didn't do well with it. And the hilarious part is like, it's not, sometimes education isn't always about you being comfortable all the time. You're being put in positions or based on the things that you're learning that you learn different things, and they're not always fun. So when people just decide to go on the internet and they learn from themselves, pardon me, and they only read articles that they like to read, or they only research stuff that they like to research, you're curating your education in a very biased manner, as opposed to just being kind of like, and you know, reading it all and understanding a lot, and even the stuff that you don't like, and then coming to your own conclusion. If you just start like, that's why conspiracy theorists, I'm not going to go down this road, because conspiracy theorists are such horse shit, because they're just following information that is exciting, that they like, as opposed to shit that's boring. And the thing is like, everything doesn't have to be enjoyable. Everything doesn't have to be exciting, but it's part of the whole broader thing. So you might not like education, but what it does is it informs you in regards to the direction you're going, but also teaches you discipline. It teaches you hitting deadlines. It teaches you how to organize your time. All right, I've said what I have to say. In regards to me being a gatekeeper, it's hilarious. In regards to me being a gatekeeper in the art world is double hilarious, because I'm not qualified to be a gatekeeper. The reason why is I don't hold any positions in the art world. I'm not, and trust me, you don't want that, because there'd be a lot of hurt feelings. And I'm not, I told you I'd apologize. There'd be a lot of hurt feelings if I was like Mark Adams is the Wally Lama. So I would be, if I was the grand poobah artistic art and design, I guess. Grand poobah of art and design. If I was the grand poobah of art and design, there'd be a lot of hurt feelings, ladies and germs. There would be a lot of hurt feelings. And there'd be a lot of people returning their shit to Michaels, okay? A lot of pads of paper, lots of special pens, the Micron pens. Everyone's bringing the Micron pens back. Everyone's bringing back their, trust me, you're going to be upset. I don't hold any position in regards to that would make me a gatekeeper. I have no affiliation with anybody. I'm not holding people back, because what a gatekeeper is someone who controls or limits the access to something. It's like the activity of controlling or limiting general access. And I'm not doing any of that. I'm just telling you, use your fucking head and, you know, be a little bit more serious. And it's funny, because this idea of being qualified, I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about it. I feel as though we're in this position of, we're now, people are learning how to do stuff on YouTube. You're learning how to do everything on YouTube. You're learning how to use all these great tricks instead of going to schools. And it's hilarious because it's this false, it's a very false, it's a false sense of competency. And it's like, it's just the way it is. I mean, you can't, I've said this before, I'll say it again, you can't learn how to do plumbing on YouTube and then show up to a job site and say you're a plumber. Much like if you have a calculator and you use the calculator, you're not a mathematician. You know what I'm saying? You got to spend time and energy. And the gatekeeping thing is funny. And I'm going to give you a story. I'm now into story mode because I got a couple stories that I think are pretty kind of funny. In regards to gatekeeping, this story would in the end, I'm going to ask, the question is, was I gate kept or not? So did somebody gatekeep me or not? And this is a real crazy story. So years ago, I was applying for a job. This was back before my daughter was born, so it's over 20 years ago. And I was in the restaurant industry, and an opportunity came up for me to apply for this design firm. I had been tipped off the fact that this design firm was hiring, and then I should maybe submit a resume. Oh, and to all the people accusing me of a gatekeeper, there's something called a resume where you have your qualifications and you list them out with dates and stuff. And they're usually looked at in terms of the qualifications that would make somebody hire you. And, you know, so I'm not apologizing. I already apologized once. And just to let you know about a resume is about qualifications, not fake ones, but real ones. Can't just go on a resume and say, I watched 8 hours of Alex Steele and now I can forge. You know what I'm saying? All right, back to that. And I'm not apologizing. Well, I'll apologize there. I was a little bit passive aggressive. And that's manipulation. That's subtle manipulation. And I'm against subtle manipulation. So I apologize for that. All right, no more apologies. This design firm, I was in the restaurant business. I was relatively miserable. It seemed like a great opportunity. I put my resume together. I sent them my resume all the years I was with artists, and I went to, you know, my art degree and all the jobs I was as an artist assistant and working in design and working in fabrication. And it just felt like, you know, whatever. So I thought, you know, basically back in the day when you sent a resume in, and it wasn't an email, by the way, it was like a fucking, I think I sent it in mail. I'm not 100% sure, but you know, you either get it or you don't get it, or you don't get a call back. Got a message that I got a call back, and they wanted to meet with me. So they told me to bring all my slides, and they were going to look at my work, and they gave me a date. And this was a really nice design firm that was in, like, Washington Square Park in Manhattan. This was, like, all of a sudden, if you know, I got after sending my resume in and my letter and all that, I'm thinking to myself, I got an interview. And I got the job. In my mind, I'm just like, I got the job. I mean, that's all they need. Once they meet me, they're gonna flip their lid. I, at the time, talk about arrogant. When I was younger, fucking arrogant. I mean, I was a good-looking kid, not a care in the world, just a...
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
A real pile of confidence and then, like, dipping both feet into arrogance. Real obnoxious. I respect that young Jeff. I would like to slap him around. I always think it would be great to have a younger version of myself as my assistant. And I just know that there would be physical abuse. I know that I would slap around my younger version of me, but in a loving older brother situation. Okay? So I apologize. I'm not apologizing anymore. So I'm getting ready to go to this design firm. And the weekend before... I had to go to this place on a Monday. The weekend before, I had to go see my dad because, funny enough, when I had my studio in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, I had a welder, a little buzz box, a little AC/DC buzz box. And sometimes my dad would borrow it because he had a farm and he had a winery and there was repairs to be done. So there was bush hogs and mower decks and all these little things that needed to be welded up. So I used to just bring it up and I would fix stuff for him. And then I just left it there. So I left the welder there. I wasn't really using it very much, and I just left it there. And my father, God, I mean, my father's been long dead, but he had this really, he had this way of like, what's mine is his. And he had this way of manipulating my shit in a way that without asking me, I didn't like. So he had his guy who ran the farm. He had his guy change the leads on my welder to make them different and like longer. And he didn't call me up and say, hey, we're going to make these leads longer. He just did it. And they just look like shit. And they're still in my shop. And the color of the wire is weird. And it just, I was just like, what the fuck? So I called my dad. I was like, I got to pick the welder up this weekend. I'll come on by. He's like, okay, no, we're done with everything. You come on by. So we were coming. I came up, visited him, and I was going to, you know, we shoot the shit a little bit. Now I'm probably at this point, I'm probably like, 28, 29, something like that. I'd probably just been married. 28, 29, maybe 30, 29 probably. So I'm up at the place and he and I are talking and we're walking the farm. And then all of a sudden I hear, we were in the house originally with his wife and talking. And then dad and I just started talking. We started walk out because I had to go get the welder, load it up in the car and drive it back. And he and I are walking on this path. We're just talking. And I feel like this is like the first time he and I are actually talking about like adult stuff. Like I feel like we're being adults to a certain degree. And out of nowhere, I hear, Ben Fader, don't you walk out on me. Don't you walk away from me when I'm talking to you. How dare you? And all of a sudden, we're like, what is going on? So his wife comes screaming out the door, screaming at him. How dare you walk away from me when I'm talking to you? And she's lighting this fucking dude up. And part of me thinks, especially years later, knowing the kind of person that she was trying to emasculate him in front of me in an unnecessary way. I mean, I don't even know what they're talking about. And she's tearing his ass up, calling him by both names. You know, when you get called by both names, that's fucking problem. That is problem. He didn't have a middle name. His name was Ben Fader. Ben Fader, she didn't call him Benjamin. That's for, you know, can't call, you know, at the time he was 80 something. You know, no. He would, he'd be about 80 something. So he's 50 years older than me. And now we're at a point where I'm 30, he's 80, and we're having this kind of like, you know, we're just, you know, I got this job interview coming up and I'm getting the welder and we're just talking shop and stuff. She just lights his ass up. Ben Fader, don't you walk away from me when I'm talking to you. Who do you think you are? This is outrageous. And then she storms off, and it was like she dropped a bomb in front of both of us. And I was just like, she walked away, and I was terrified. I mean, she's going to tear my dad used to tear me up. And this woman tore him up. So if this woman going to tear him up, imagine what she could do to me. I'm going to be turning me into a puddle on the ground. She walks away, and my dad's like, he looks pissed. He looks pissed that he got laced in front of his son. Who used to lace me all the time. So I'm like, Jesus Christ. And now all of a sudden we're two dudes. Now it's no longer a father and son. It's two dudes because now he's been emasculated. He's on peon level now. Ben Fader now is at peon Jeff Fader level. We're two peons. So like all of a sudden now I'm just like, I didn't get yelled at. You got yelled at. So I start breaking his balls. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Dad, does she talk to you like that all the time? And he goes, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Doesn't your wife talk to you like that? I'm like, no, never. He goes, you don't fight with your wife? I'm like, no, of course not. Of course I don't. And I'm like, all of a sudden now I'm just like, oh my God, he's the peon and now I'm above the peon. And it was like this crazy moment. And we're walking to the barn and we're just like relating. And he's embarrassed, humiliated, emasculated. Now all of a sudden he's the peon because he got tore up in front of me. I'm making fun of him. So I go over to the welder. I'm like, I'm not really paying attention. I'm like, can't believe it, laughing. I lift the welder up. And all of a sudden my dad said, what is wrong with your eye? Well, I wasn't paying attention. I was all thrilled that my father was getting fucking tore up in front of me after years of him tearing me up, after years of him embarrassing me, after years of him emasculating me, after years of him making me feel less than garbage. I'm no longer the peon. He's the peon, and I'm not the peon anymore. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like $1 million. No one's yelling at me back at home. My wife ain't yelling at me like this. She don't come and say, Jeff Vader, what are you doing? She don't say any of that. Grabbed the welder, both hands, lifted up, popped a blood vessel in my eye. Can you believe it? My whole eye goes red. I can't feel it. I don't know it. I had no idea. You don't feel it when you do that. And all of a sudden, my entire white of my eye is red, blood red. And my dad's like, what the hell happened? And I'm just like, I have no idea. I'm like, let's go back to you being emasculated by your wife. We finally get in the car. I look in the mirror and my whole eye is red. And I'm not having any problem seeing. Doesn't hurt. I have no discomfort. I blew a vessel in my eye. Apparently that happens when people throw up or people lift something hard. It's a violent act and the blood vessel bursts and you just have this like red eye. So all of a sudden now it's, you know, that's my lot in life. You know, all of a sudden I have these moments of like having the upper hand, and immediately afterwards, it's like, you know, you're still a peon, jackass. You know, you'll always be a peon. So I get the thing in my car. I drive it home. All of a sudden my dad's like, are you going to be, let me know how it goes. And I'm driving home and I'm just like, I have an appointment with this. I have a job interview with this design firm. What the fuck am I going to do? So I ended up going to like a who knows what kind of store. And I ended up getting glasses with like red lenses. And I think, all right, I'm going to go in and, you know, I'll use red lenses and it'll make me look art. It was the stupidest idea of all time, but it was just like the only thing we come up with. I don't want to have to explain to these people why I have a red eye. Just stupid. I'm not gonna change the thing. So I got these goddamn glasses with red eye. I get the next day, I'm like, I look like such a, oh God, if you're wearing sunglasses indoors, you're either a blind person or an asshole. And I'm an asshole because I got no other choice. I don't want to explain it. And I'm thinking to myself, no one's gonna know. Well, I'm not even used to walking around looking at things with red lenses. So I'm constantly like putting them up on my head anyway. So I go to this event, I go to this job interview, and go down. It's a beautiful lobby, and you go up the elevator. Elevator's beautiful. Everything's well designed. It's a design firm. I go up, and they introduce me. I have a, you know, my name's Jeff. I'm a 3 o'clock meeting with so-and-so. Oh, okay, let me get her. The person comes, oh, Jeff, so glad to hear. She's kind of looking at me wearing the red glasses, wondering what the fuck's up, but at the same time, I'm just like, I've committed to this charade and I don't know what else to do. I can't just be like, oh yeah, I don't need these anymore. And then all of a sudden it's like fucking goon eye, devil goon eye. We're definitely not going to hire you. Well, come into this room. What we're going to do is we're going to set you up with a carousel for your slides. You brought your slides. I'm like, yep, I brought my slides. And what we're going to do is we're going to allow you to do a presentation to the whole firm during their coffee break. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, what we do is we'll have a coffee break at a certain time where people can come in, and then we have creative people come in and then do a slide presentation, which I was not prepared for whatsoever. So all of a sudden I'm like, okay. So they set me up and I'm trying to talk about my work and I'm trying to, but this is back to, you know, when we're talking about your work, one of the things that one of the people called me a gatekeeper on the podcast said was you shouldn't have to articulate your work. And my opinion is you should be able to express yourself in terms of what you're doing. That's one of the great things about art, is to be able to explain why you're doing certain things, why these decisions that you're making. So it kicked in, all the horseshit kicked in, and I'm starting to go through the slides. People are coming in, they're kibitzing on their coffee break, they're getting coffee, something, looking, walking out. So new people walking in, new people walking out. It was actually incredibly disorienting, and it was like weird because it's not like people weren't sitting there to watch. They were just coming in, grabbing something and leaving. And once in a while, there'd be a person watching and nodding and scratching, you know, writing down, you know, something and stuff like that. And it was really, really, what is it when you're, when I was completely, I just couldn't understand. I couldn't be comfortable. It was distracting. I was very distracted. So the whole thing was finished and they were like, wanted to thank me. And then I said, okay, I'm ready for my interview. And they're like, Oh yeah. So they bring me to this room and I guess apparently they weren't really prepared to, the whole thing was they didn't want to interview me at all. They wanted me to come in to give them, you know, show my work and then try to get everybody's creative juices flowing. So I go into this room and then I go through this very scattered interview with someone who wasn't really prepared to interview me. And then they went over my resume and they looked at me and they said, this is great, but one of the things is you're just not qualified enough for this job. And I was crestfallen because I'd gone through all this thing. I thought I was going to get it anyway. And then they weren't very clear in regards to why I was there. I was like an organ grinder's monkey. You know, I was there to be entertaining or to spark some sort of creative thing. The whole thing kind of was a disaster. But when it came down to the brass tacks and they looked at my resume and then they talked to me, well, you haven't really had any you don't have any experience in architecture. You didn't go to architecture school. You didn't go to design school. You don't have an interior design or exterior design or design background. And you're just not qualified. I left very upset, looking like an idiot with my red eye and my sunglasses. And I'm hoping that I look like, Jack Nicholson. And I'm thinking, if I look like Jack Nicholson and I carry myself well, maybe it'll work. Well, I look like a douchebag and I wasn't qualified. I was an unqualified peon douchebag. So I left and I was bummed out. I was really bummed out. And then after a time, you know, it made sense. I wasn't qualified for the job that they were looking for. And I never thought to myself, they're gatekeeping me from this work. I never thought to myself, they just don't want me there. I wasn't qualified to do the job that they were looking for, and they had specific qualifications that they were looking for. So I wasn't being gatekept. I was unqualified. I was not qualified for the job. And it was because my experience wasn't enough. My experience wasn't enough to carry me over to having this job. They wanted very specific qualifications and I didn't have them. That's not being gatekept. That's one of the crazy parts about, you know, our society is we have these words in regards to, you shouldn't have to have qualifications. Qualifications shouldn't matter. Well, I think the qualifications should matter. I think that when you're doing something, I think that it really is important to make sure that there are certain qualifications to the things that you're doing. And when I think about technology, and I don't want people to think that I'm against technology. I'm totally for technology. I feel it is a tool. I feel AI is a tool. I feel all these things are tools. But the problem is I understand that you can't blame the tool for certain things. Much like, you know, I'm not a political guy, but I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in the First Amendment. I believe in all the amendments in the Constitution because I do believe that once you start getting rid of one, then that opens up all of them and that you got a problem. So I am 100% for Second Amendments. And in regards to guns, I believe that you should be able to bear arms. I believe that. And I would never say anything otherwise. However, I also believe that it isn't the tool that's doing, you know, destruction in regards to that. It is the person behind the tool. So I feel as though that there are certain qualifications that people should have in terms of responsibility. That's what I think. I think that people operating power hammers should have some responsibility. I think that just like people driving cars, I think people should have driver's licenses before they get behind the wheel. I feel like all these technological things, to a certain degree, I think there should be some qualifications. Is that gatekeeping? Then I'm a gatekeeper. Well, fuck you. It's fine. I'm not apologizing. If that makes me a gatekeeper, and I feel as though some people should have qualifications in regards to the tools that they're using, they should. You see all my friends on Instagram, they're using their mills, and they're using all their presses, they're using it wrong, and you see these messages on the underneath the comments, you're using it wrong, you're doing it wrong. My man, Full Steam Designs, Chris Powell, That's his business, is to get people pissed. If he didn't get people pissed, he would be out of money. His job is to do videos where people are clearly going to be pissed off and get engagement up. Engagement is his currency. And if he don't get that engagement up, he ain't getting that moolah. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't get that moolah. And so he makes these videos very, you know, he makes it so people get pissed. They say, you're not doing it right. At a certain degree, some of these people are right in terms of the idea of qualifications. When you have an electrician do the electrical work in your house, you want someone who's licensed, and you want a licensed electrician. When you want to have a plumber, you want a licensed plumber. Yes. Have I done some of the electrical work in my house? No. I have had licensed electricians in the house. Have I redone some of the plumbing in the house? No. I always have licensed and insured plumbers. Are you kidding me? Licensed and insured plumbers, licensed and insured electricians. I respect the qualifications that these people have, and don't push me on it anymore, okay? Listen, how dare you question me in regards to me not wanting people with qualifications? Are you out of your mind? Hey, you're don't make any assertions that I'm anything other than a gatekeeper. I'm a proud to be a gatekeeper. Some of you people should be gatekept. Regardless. The next story I want to tell is something that happened recently in regards to why, you know, qualifications matter. Qualifications matter. And this is a weird story because I'm going to be vague. And usually when I say I'm going to be vague, I have this tendency. It's almost like me saying I'm going to be vague and then I immediately throw a brick through a window. I'm super duper not vague, but I'm going to be vague for this time. So a friend of mine, a knife maker from Australia, reaches out to me and says, hey, mate, you know, if you want to talk like an Australian and instead of saying mate, M-A-T-E, you say M-I-T-E. And then that sounds like an Australian accent. So he said, hey, mate, I got a question for you. I have a customer in the United States who has one of my knives and they damaged it. I'm going to say, oh, you don't say mate. And he says, hey, mate. Yeah. Yo, mate. He says, yo, mate. So what I want you to do is, I was wondering, do you think it's too expensive for them to ship it back to me in Australia for me to fix it or repair it and send it back to them with customs and all that stuff? Would it be possible if you could do it? And I said, mate, I'm your man. I'm your mate. I'm with you 100%. Are you kidding me, mate? I'm with you. So he sent me a picture of what it looked like. It had a giant chip out of it. Like, not a small chip, but a big chip. It was like maybe like, you know, about half an inch of a chip. So all of a sudden, and I said to my friend, Mike, hey, Mike, listen, if I repair this knife, what's going to happen is I'm going to have to cut all it back down to the bottom of the chip. And it's going to be a different knife. And he goes, Mike, I understand. And I explained it to him. And I said, so what I'll do is I'll grind the profile back to the point where it is correct. The bevel is correct. The profile is correct. And then what I'll do is I'll grind the knife down, thin the knife down to make it more high performance. Because here's the problem. If you have a long knife, and this is knife talk stuff, if you have a knife with a 2-inch heel, but then you take it and then it's beveled and you take half an inch off that heel, all of a sudden the geometry of your knife isn't going to work the same and you're going to end up with a lot more material. So I had to thin the whole knife down. I said, Mike, is that going to work? And he says, Mike, you're the man. I'm with you. And I said, now make sure that this person understands that I'm going to change the bevel and then I'm going to change the profile and I'm going to change the bevel. And they said, this is a very important knife for this person because they got it as a gift and it's got sentimental value. I'm like, as long as they understand. He's like, they understand. Knife comes to me and apparently the knife was broken in an onion cutting accident. I don't believe it, but I'm with you. I'm not gatekeeping the truth here. I'm telling you, when I looked at it, it didn't look like it was a flaw. It looked like I looked at the inside, the chip part didn't come. It just, the knife came and it looked like there wasn't any weirdness with the heat treatment. The grain structure looked okay. That's a knife talk thing. Everything about it looked okay, except there was one little curl on one of the corners of where the chip came out of that made me think that it was just, who knows? It didn't feel as though it was under-tempered. It didn't feel as though it was too hard and brittle. I don't know what happened. I don't think, when I looked at it, didn't seem to me like it was an onion cutting, mechanism. So I get the knife, I drew a line on it, I said, this is what it's going to look like. And they said, no problem, Mike. I fixed the knife, I fixed the thing, I ground it down, I sharpened on the Tormek. Shout out to Tormek. Tormek made that blade razor blade sharp. It looked like a different knife because I took off half an inch of the belly, right? Same day it came in, I sent it, I wrapped it up, sent it back, said, here you go, hope this finds you well, blah, blah, blah. I wrote something, I usually write something nice. And same day, out the same day. So it wasn't like it was sitting around the shop for a while. So after a week, I sent my message to my friend. I said, it's all good to go. Here's what it looks like, all squared away. I got you. And I said, this is on the arm. You're my guy. You don't have to pay me a cent. I'm with you. Mite, you're my guy. And then he said back, yo, Mite. Oh, Mite, you are the best. You're the best, Mite. I'm like, yeah, let's go over mites. You know what I'm saying? Week passed, 2 weeks passed, 3 weeks passed. I'm chatting with my Mite, and I say, hey, Mite, you hear anything about that knife? Nothing, Mite. No, not a thing. Next thing you know, I wake up. My Mite sent me a Reddit link. Reddit. You know about Reddit? You know about Reddit. I'm an old guy, so I got to say it like that. That Reddit. Open it up. Guy posted a picture of the knife. And then just starts blasting my mite. I got this knife 2 years ago, and then I got a big. I'm not gonna infer how it came out because that's kind of unfair too. The guy said I got this knife as a gift, and it shouldn't have broke, and it did break, cutting onions. And I tried to get him to fix it, and then they said it was going to be too expensive, so they sent it to a New York facility, and then they cut it. They cut it, and then when they cut it, they made it smaller. Now it's way smaller than I expected, and I feel very upset. And it was just this very litany of like complaints, like throwing themselves around. And the problem there was a number of problems. The one problem was just like, you know, there was no communication after the fact with my mite. This person just like threw themselves around and went straight to Reddit, number one. But it was the litany of responders. Well, that's bullshit. What a shitty company. And they should pay for this and they should do that. And this is the heat treatment. It's clearly they made a mistake. And this, and then all of a sudden, all these unqualified people start. I guess CSI examining what happened to the knife, and then also trying to extrapolate what happened with the relationship between my friend and this customer. And it was like, knowing, because I got the knife and I had heard experience and I saw the whole thing and I looked at it myself, I'm just like, this is a complete, all these things that people are saying, including the customer, they're erroneous. They're not correct. They're not correct at all. And I felt as though that they're doing a disservice to my friend's business. And frankly, it's just like this horde of unqualified people who are telling this person what to do. And it just looked like they were all piling on. And it was like the whole thing of like me being part of some sort of weird facility, which isn't true. It was just everything about it was just mischaracterized. That's what I would say. It was a mischaracterization, and then this mob mentality just kind of brutalized my guy. So after a couple of days, and I was just like, I decided I can't with this. If you don't know this by now, as my father peoned me. Oh, no, wait, that sounded bad. He made me a peon. Well, see, if I say he peoned me, it sounds like I said he's peed on me, which is not the case. What his case is he just used to browbeat me into feeling like a puddle of garbage. But don't do yourself a favor, ladies and gentlemen. Don't say someone peoned you, because that's weird. It's definitely not what happened. It definitely sounds weirder than it actually is. That didn't happen. What happened was he made me feel like a peon, right? And I am not good with conflict. I am very, very not good with the waste of energy that people have online in starting fights and stuff like that. Like, I don't get any I don't get paid, number one. I get paid to come here. I get paid to go to Knife Talk. And that's how I see it. I don't fight with you. I'm going to fight with you. You know, I'm not fighting for free. You know what I'm saying? Same thing when people go and hit me up in the DMs on Knife Talk. I'm not going one at a time, everybody. I'm bringing it all to the main stage where I get paid. I don't enjoy emotional damage. I don't enjoy being a peon for someone else. I don't enjoy being feeling fragile or humiliated, or I don't enjoy feeling like my dad felt when his wife fucking lit him up. So, like, I can't get involved with writing in and kind of defending my friend. And it becomes a point, no matter when, whatever you say online, people just are going to say whatever they want to say. And then here's the best part. Usually what happens is uneducated people start to try to, you can almost see people who are might be on the ignorant side, or people on the who are not very well spoken, or people who aren't just, and when I say well spoken, I just talk normal, you know, people who just like that, you can almost feel as though when they're writing some sort of grand missive that they're straightening up, and before I write this, let me put on my top hat and my tuxedo, because we must let people know that we are serious, and I'm not going to use any contractions, and my words are going to be carefully thought out, and I can tell when people are writing like that, because it's not the way you talk. You know, it's just like, well, you know, I get that all the time in Knife Talk. If I say something and people don't like it, they'll hit me up with like this, like you can tell they're sitting up straight while they're typing out their I can't get involved with that. And I can't get involved with also when people are talking, we're texting you, and then you're texting back, and then they have time to manifest their next barrage. And then you have to think, I wonder when their next barrage is coming, because I have to plan my barrage. And then it's just like all of a sudden you're supposed to be working, you're supposed to be doing stuff, and you're supposed to be running a business, and you're supposed to be being a parent, and you're supposed to be being a husband. And it's just like I have to worry about the barrage of some phony dude in his underwear and a top hat who's about to send me some fucking bullshit barrage. I can't do that. It's just too much energy wasted. I remember years ago we did some Knife Talk thing where we attacked one of these fraudulent knife guys, and we had the whole Knife Talk community going after him, and it was like, I was wondering what it's going to say next, and it was like, I wasted so much valuable energy with this nonsense. So when the Reddit thing came, and I'm reading it, and I got kind of that awful feeling in my stomach, like, oh God, I got to defend my friend, and then I was just like, so I sent a message to my buddy, and he was upset. He was upset because it was just like, this is affecting my business, and these people are really saying terrible things about my business and my business habits, and they're mischaracterizing everything. And I have to be a parent right now. I don't have time to, you know, nitpick on Reddit something, you know, that somebody, you know, somebody who had a mischaracterization of what happened, and you're turning a mountain into a molehill. It didn't have to happen. So after a while, I got a message from my friend a couple days later, and I said, what happened with that guy, with the customer who was upset because he felt like he got. So he says, well, it's very easy. I sat down and wrote a long email detailing with our conversations in past emails, what he agreed to, which was, it wasn't just like you agreed to the terms of service. They had a long email discourse in regards to what happened, what's going to happen, what can happen, and do you understand what's going to happen? And he says, and the mischaracterization is crazy. So he wrote this whole, so he said, I spent an hour, I wrote the whole thing, and I kind of detailed it. And then I went on to the Reddit post, and then I detailed it on the Reddit post, and it took me like an hour and a half, 2 hours for this whole thing. In my mind, I'm thinking, what a waste of his energy. What a waste of his energy. And then what happened was the guy took the Reddit post down, sent my friend an email, and he said, I don't want to, there's no need for any more correspondence. There had been threats made about calling of, you know, like consumer affairs and all this stuff. It's just like, it was also some of these, you know, armchair professionals, some people who need to be gatekept, frankly, were filling him with all these ideas of what he can do to get some sort of compensation or revenge. So the guy was basically, I mean, blackmail is a strong word, but he was basically saying, if you don't do certain things, I'm going to do certain things. And it was just like uncomfortable. So after my friend sent this long, you know, way too long of a missive message, guy wrote back saying, I'm taking the Reddit article down and there's no need for any more. And I'm paraphrasing because I didn't see, you know, all that. He's and there's no need for any more correspondence and that's it. And I'm done. And that was the end of it. But the problem was, is the damage was done with that whole, the people who saw it saw, you know, terrible things about my friend's business. They saw, they believed that they were more than that they are. And then they took unqualified information, unqualified results, unqualified observations, and filled this fucking guy with what he thought was qualified observations and got him all frisky. Problem is like, at what point do we say that, you know, we have to acknowledge that certain things are, you know, some people are qualified for some of the stuff and some people aren't. Now, I'm not a qualified to be a gatekeeper, but I would like to be. I would like to be very much so. And it was upsetting. The whole thing was upsetting. And once again, social media is a great tool. I appreciate it. But some of these motherfuckers don't know how to use it. They don't know how to use it. The people say stupid stuff. My man Bob from Every Day's Feast Day, he is amazing. And I'm going to have him back on sooner rather than later. And we're going to talk about what he's been up to. We've been selling knives that we collaborated with him. His videos are amazing. And they're like, it's almost like a mini version of culinary school because he's teaching you these little things that are super helpful to you as a cook at home. Like amazing stuff. And then you'll see these people saying that's not how you do it, or that's bullshit, or this is horrible, or it's just like madness, total madness, to the point where you're just like, some of you are not qualified to be on the internet. And all I wanted to say is this. Do I feel like I'm a gatekeeper in certain regards? No. But deep down, I want to be. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a gatekeeper because I'm preventing people. I have no position to prevent you from doing. You do whatever you want. I got nothing to. I can't stop you from doing anything you want. You do whatever you want to be an artist. Be an artist. You want to be a sculptor. You want to be a musician. You want to do whatever you want. You do it. You do your thing, girl. You don't need my advice. But if you're asking me if I want to be a gatekeeper, the answer is deep down in this crusty heart of mine, this heart. This peon's heart, a peon's heart. I'd love to gatekeep some things. I'd love to gatekeep some people, and I would love to gatekeep some ideas. I would love to gatekeep people that I feel are unqualified for certain things. Now, I apologize. I said I wouldn't apologize, and I'm apologizing. I apologize to you for sitting through this. I apologize to, that's it. I'm just you. I'm going to apologize to you. You know what? I take it back. I'm not apologizing anymore. I'm done apologizing. I'm not sorry anymore. But I appreciate you letting me get through this. For sure. Go follow Full Blast Podcast on Instagram. And wherever you're listening to this, it would be a big favor to me if you left a 5-star review and you gave us some reviews and showed it to your friends. When we post on Full Blast Podcast, we always have whoever is on the show. We have all their information, and also in the show notes will be the information of the guest and where they have their stuff and how you can find on them. Next week, we're going to have Salem Straub. We have a few other guests coming up very soon. I'm very excited about that. And I appreciate you. And if you want, one more thing, I just got to do this one more thing. If you want to support me, please go support me at Fader Knives. Go to Fader Knives, buy something. I got t-shirts, I got hats, I got knives, I got kitchen stuff, I got good stuff on. And you won't have to go on Reddit to bitch about me because my customer service is top of the food chain line, top of the line. 5-star. Not that my friend from Australia didn't have top of the food chain line, but you're not going to have to go to Reddit when you get my stuff, okay? But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, I'm getting too confused. I'm gatekeeping the rest of this conversation. So go follow me at Fader Knives on Instagram. You can get, or go to faderknives.com, buy some. And if you want, which I'd appreciate, and I'll stop hawking you in Shinik, Go support my race. I'm running the New York City Marathon. I'm feeling old, but I'm doing it. I'm making it happen, and whatever it takes, I'm getting over that finish line, the ladies and germs. Go to Fader Knives on Instagram, or you can go to Full Blast Podcast on Instagram. And on the bio, there's a link to the Michael J. Fox Foundation, my page. I got to raise under 2,500 bucks. And I need about $2,000 and change. So if you could go and support the people with these, we want to support the people with Parkinson's. You know what I'm saying? So all the jokes aside, you know how it is. All right. With that said, I've said enough. Perhaps I've said too much. And I'm qualified to tell you goodbye. And I'm qualified to tell you that we will see you next week. And take it away, Craig.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.